Hey, everybody. This is Dana Small.
And this is Rusty Pepper.
Welcome to another edition of MarPro,
the Marketing Procurement Podcast.
Rusty, it's the end of year.
The final countdown. Exciting to be able to get this episode recorded. I think we've had a really good one today. So I'll let you do the introduction. We'll get our guest introduced.
Yeah, so we've got a great person who, if you've been around ANA or the industry, you probably know him for his book. His name is Bruno. I'm going to probably butcher this. Say it for me.
Probably. I was hoping you would.
Bruno G. We'll call him
Bruno Grappois.
Exactly. Really, really well done.
Good job. Well, you're married to a French woman. That's not fair, Rusty.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That is clearly not fair.
Yeah, it's clearly not fair. And I'm glad I didn't even butcher it. But Bruno, we're so glad to have you on the show. So if you would like to tell us a bit about your background, your experience. I know you've been on the agency side. You worked for the ANA, which is really cool. And maybe a little bit about your books. That'd be great. Just to kind of kick that off.
Happy to. Well, thanks so much for you guys for having me on the show. So yeah, I spent a lot of my career on the client side. I would say probably 80-20. I did spend some on the agency side, but I started on the client side, and I was lucky enough to do that for a number of years in a number of just great companies. So during that stint, I would say on the agency side, I got to see kind of the good and the ugly and all of it. So very, always very insightful when you work on the client side to have that experience and to walk into the agency shoes at some point in your career. But mostly, I spent a lot of years working on the client side. And I was obviously part of the ANA for a number of years as a client. And, I'm a big fan of that, of the ANA as an organization and many others actually that are, providing this kind of thought leadership in our industry. But on the client side, I worked for probably my longest stint was Microsoft. So I worked there for about 10 years. A lot in tech. Tech is a love and passion of mine. So Microsoft was kind of a good place for me to do that. It's the little Silicon Valley in Seattle, and it's also the birthplace of cloud-based computing, as you know, with Microsoft Azure and AWS with Amazon. So just a great place to do a lot of that. But I jumped around a little bit. I worked for other companies like Visa, worked in the telco space for Sprint, own organization. So that's my kind of what led me to maybe the book, actually, if you want me to speak to that for a second. Because when I was at Microsoft, I led a very large consolidation exercise. At the time, I think it was the largest consolidation exercise in the tech industry. And it was a year-long project. It was a global initiative for the company that was going from being very engineering-driven and, Bill Gates, to being a lot more audience and segment-based with, Steve Ballmer at the head of the company. And so we wanted to have more of a control voice in the marketplace because it was very, there's a lot of cacophony, right? Product teams will talk to, product, and segment team will talk to segments, enterprise or mid-size. And then, you would have audiences like influential end users and developers and business decision makers being talked to from different teams. But guess what? They were talking to the same people because you could be a business decision maker in a mid-sized company using Office, and everybody would be bombarded. So we're like, well, we can get 5,000 marketers to start behaving and work together, or maybe we can actually get to the funnel and get to the agencies. And Microsoft with all type of personality, people with budgets ready to go at it. So getting these people to really come together in a unified way was going to be challenging. But getting to the agencies and having fewer agencies will give us more control. And so we led that. That's the consolidation, the primary reason why we led that process. And after that, when we ended with a couple of big strategic relationships, they're like, well, we know the baby's born. We need somebody to raise that child. Will you want to take that job? And so I did. And I led and built a team from the ground up that was really about enabling stronger relationships and partnership that drove corporate value. And during the process, I'm like, well, I need to find out what are the best companies in the world doing, obviously. I went to the ANA, my good friends there, talked to a lot of companies, and I was like absolutely blown away by the level of sophistication and experience, you know, like some of the CPG's company have been around forever, really put into practice over the years. And I'm like, what a shame that information is not anywhere. So I decided to consolidate it, and that would became basically the basis of the book Agency Mania, which was a collection of these best practices. And I wrote that in 2010 when I was at Microsoft. Now it's in second edition. So things have, time has gone and a lot of things changed, but it was really the attempt, and he did fairly well. He got, you know, translated multiple languages, even in Chinese Mandarin. I still have a copy of that, which I can't read, but you know, like there were a lot of interest around how do we go about doing that. And so the timing was great. And I was able to then take a lot of these best practices to other companies and other places where I applied those skills. So that was, I think, will lead us eventually to where I'm at now. But that's kind of my background, so to speak.
It's an interesting background. I know, so you started the agency Mania Solutions back in 2013 with two co-founders, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And since that time, there's been a lot of innovation and change in the marketplace. So I've got a question for you. Which of all the innovations and changes that you've seen since 2013, which ones are having the biggest impact on marketing procurement professionals?
That's a great question. I think for me to answer that question, I almost have to explain why we started Agency Mania Solution in the first place, which, as you can tell, we named the company after the book because the book had some little bit of awareness in the marketplace. This is, but what we realized is people were looking for more than just best practices. What they wanted is to bring those best practices to life. And the way to go by doing was to be using technology. And now we don't need to talk about MarTech extensively here. We know that marketing technology has really changed the landscape of how we go about doing everything. Everything is digitalized. You know, the world in which we live, whether it's where we produce or how we go about producing it, is relying on technology. So it was a natural evolution for us to think about, let's try to find a way to operationalize best practices by giving clients the tools and the technology to make these things happen. And so obviously one of the biggest, you know, development for the past 15 years has been obviously cloud-based computing and the ability to start developing applications in the cloud that scale, that enterprise grade, and allows organizations to, you know, deploy these new capabilities quite cost inexpensively, you know, compared to, you know, what would have been the alternative years prior. So I think that was a big drive. So the MarTech interest, I think, fueled a lot of the innovation. I think the cloud-based capabilities and, you know, really, I was listening to recently to the new CEO of Amazon and the work they're doing. I mean, AWS was started, I think, 13 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, but that business has been exploding. I mean, what an amazing journey it's been on. But it really fueled a lot of innovation, a lot of thinking, and a lot of companies now are coming up with new ways of accomplishing what people have historically done very manually. So I think that's one of the big pieces of innovation. I think that, you know, since the inception of our company, has really contributed to deploying these capabilities across just large brands on a global basis.
You know, it's interesting. We got to think about our audience. And so from a marketing procurement professional's point of view, what would you say has had the biggest impact for them, for us to really be able to understand and best support our brand partners and agency partners?
I think procurement is a very interesting space because I think where people came from originally in procurement, I think a lot of people were originally in like sourcing functions. Many of them eventually got into marketing, procurement, learning new skills, learning marketing as a practice. I think we're seeing more and more marketers maybe going into procurement, mm-hmm. or at least kind of, you know, and bringing that know-how. And it's the divide, I think, is greater because marketing becoming more complex. So procurement to keep up gets increasingly challenging. It's don't get me wrong, it's hard for marketers to keep up with marketing.
Right.
So procurement is like, wow. I mean, like, to be in the same room and having a conversation with a marketer and making sure that we, you know, that that conversation is actually going to be value add is increasingly more challenging for procurement. Just again, to be in the know, understanding what agencies are doing now and the ways by which they go about doing it. If you're going to be a valued partner to your marketing stakeholders, you got to be able to keep up. And I think it goes back to the point about technology. You also need to be able to have a certain level of understanding of how technology is affecting the marketplace and the way we go to market as organizations. And so procurement is also a challenge to keep up with technology. And if you've seen a MarTech, kind of any of these MarTech maps, I mean, they're like eye charts. There are like so many different ways people are going to market with tools these days. But how can you be effective in what you're doing if you don't understand how technology is affecting not only what you do as an organization, but how agencies are producing work? Because agencies are building technology. They're building IP. They are leveraging other tools. So sometimes they're agents, sometimes they're principal in the work they're doing, you know, like typically on the media side. But because of that, it's changing the nature of how we do compensation. Like, what are you buying? Are you buying labor? Are you buying some IP from that agency that now has software that you're becoming increasingly dependent on to get the work done? So not understanding that evolving landscape really puts you at a disadvantage as a marketing procurement professional. So I think that's kind of the new dynamic is how do we keep up? And so one of the things I do, and it's I feel like it's a little plug for that piece of content that we produce on a regular basis, we do an industry update every 4 to 6 weeks. And it's I'm doing it. It's the collection of, you know, hundreds of articles, earning reports, acquisitions, roster changes taking place in the marketplace. It's kind of a bullet point summary that basically gives you everything that's going on in the marketplace. And the reason I'm doing it.
Sign me up.
Oh, I will. Well, I'll send you a copy right after this conversation. But and I built it because I needed to keep up. And I live and breathe that stuff every day. But I still feel like I need to be on top of it every day, everything happening, I need to know. And I was like, well, I'm doing all that work. You know, might as well pass on the benefit to other people. So I started summarizing, but more of the, maybe that's my Microsoft years, you know, I like being very succinct, concise. I didn't want to rewrite a book, but, you know, mostly do like bullet point summary. Like you can just scan through it, you do it at lunch, and then you're caught up. And I'm saving you hours and or days of research. And so that's why I did it. But all of that to say, we give that away, you know, to anybody who's interested. So you can, it's free. You can sign up. The reason we did that is because again of that appetite,
yeah,
to keep up with things. And if you don't have that, you're walking into a meeting and your CMO or the marketing team talks about something, and you're not keeping up, and you don't know about the new metaverse, you know, and the new meta world, and you know, and be able to. To
NFTs,
you name it. It's like it's acronyms, it's TLAs, three letters acronyms that mean nothing to a lot of people. How can you be a value add partner if you're not even in the conversation?
So do you think that's the biggest mistake that marketing procurement makes is not keeping up with trends and information and understanding the marketplace and the industry and all the changes that happen?
I think it puts them at a disadvantage. I don't think they're to blame. I mean, they are like everyone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at what DNA is doing, we just talk about them or other organizations, they do a lot of training. They do a lot of content. They do podcasts. They do, you know, there's just a huge appetite to learn. But we all have limited time. So you can't spend your days on just, you know, learning, reading, you know, attending conferences. It's tough. So you have to be very selective. So how can we enable or support, you know, these professionals with the kind of resources they need? And, you know, like, I think what you're doing is commendable. I love your show because you're a big part of that solution. You know, it's just bringing that kind of insight and knowledge in a way that's digestible, that's modern, that works kind of in the new kind of work environment. and allows people to keep up. So kudos to you, by the way, but I think we need more of it.
So would you say there's other huge mistakes that marketing professionals might make, you know, aside from if we don't keep up with industry trends, 100%, we can't be part of the conversation. And then again, what value are we providing, right? Anytime the sourcing person goes to a new business partner, we have to sell ourselves. We have to be able to explain, you know, what's our value and why do you even want to work with us? What other kind of issues do you see marketing people or mistakes that they're making that you think could maybe be easily solved?
Well, you know, if you look at the major trend for the past, I would say 5 to 10 years, like the rise of in-house agencies, client taking on more. I think there've been a pivotal point where clients started second-guessing agencies. They're like, I'm not sure that you're going to be the strategic partner that's taking us to the next phase of our business. Or you may not be the partner that's going to really help us grow at the pace that we need to. And because of the complexity, it's been harder for agencies to keep up or even to keep talent, you know. And so we've seen a lot of organizations really hiring heavily high, you know, subject matter expertise within organizations, demanding more. And that's why I think we've seen the rise also of specialty agencies, plan being more sophisticated, saying, I may not need as much of a fully integrated agency that can do everything. I'm now actually increasingly more capable of knowing exactly what I want. And I want the best in class. I want that specialized agency. And I'm going to be taking on a more active role of being the orchestrator. And so I think the challenge with that is you're taking a lot more as a marketer. And I think we've seen the limitations of that. I think the rise of in-house agencies has continued, you know, in programmatic, in very complex things. I think in that particular case, it makes sense because you own the IP that's very critical about how you go about doing media and some of the intelligence behind it, you know, clients want to own and they want to understand it because of lack of transparency and so on. So I think there've been some fundamental reason why in certain aspects we've seen that. But in other places, I think clients are taking on too much. They, you know, it's like, oh, we can do it all type of thing. And I think the mistake they're making is they're missing on the opportunity really to find strategically grounded partners that can do what they do best and bring them at the right place to do the right kind of work. And if you can do that, I think you can have these, you know, amplified value across the board. Now, to do that, another challenge is that you have to be, I would say, really wired to be a good partner. And I see a lot of organizations that just don't know how to do that very well. I wrote an article maybe 10 years ago that I called the era of relationship capital. And for me, it was a pivotal point at that time too, where we've gone through this era of human capital, you know, intellectual capital and so on. And relationships are becoming essential assets because of the complexity, because of the growth. And there's a need for collaboration and finding ways to really turn these relationships into high value partnerships. And it takes skill set. And I think that skill set is not very well understood sometimes, or it's taking for granted, very commonly made mistake. You're not investing in a relationship, or you look maybe at your agencies as a cost rather than investment. And I wrote another piece a while back that speaks to that, which is, you know, like they call the chicken and egg kind of a concept, which applies, I think, to the client agency relationships, where clients are creating a lot of the pain points, you know, and it is a causality thing, right? It's called the concept of first cause, which is what the chicken and egg thing is from dating back to Aristotle. But it's the same concept, right? Clients, by their behavior and lack of understanding, perhaps at times, are creating a lot of the issues that then they eventually point their fingers to the agencies at and not understanding that they're actually underneath that. So I think that's another challenge I see, or, you know, or another problem I see marketing organizations or procurement organizations face today.
So do you see that trend? I know we talked about the in-house agency and as companies bring everything in-house, trying to get that more specialist versus generalist mentality. Do you see that continuing on and just making this situation even worse going forward?
I think so. I think we'll continue to see a trend. You know, it reminds me years ago when there was a lot of interest on performance-based compensation. Like everybody was like, that's the new way, right? That's a new path forward. And a lot of companies rush into doing that. But they're rushing to do that. And a lot of that, if you look actually many surveys that were done, many were unable to realize the value that they thought they could get from it. And the reason for that, because it wasn't done properly. Everybody was rushing to it and for the wrong reasons. And I think that's what's happening within our agencies to some degree. People have rushed into it for the wrong reasons. And some of them are failing at it. And I think it's going to be a trend that's going to be hard to reverse. So I don't think it's going to necessarily go back or reverse, but I think it's going to slow down because I think people are realizing that running an agency is complex and very, you know, it's very demanding. It can be costly. You know, everybody has to deal with talent acquisition and retention now. And you're exposed to that when you run your own in-house agency. So I think it's just, you know, if you go in for the wrong reasons, you're not going to get the result that you want. So I anticipate it will slow down sooner, frankly. I was wrong. I thought it was going to slow down like 3 years ago. And it continued. And so who knows how long it'll continue. But if you look at the NAs, they're on in-house forum now. There's a lot of work. There's been a lot of interest and a lot of work being done to build these new capabilities for people to run in-house agencies more effectively, and it's helping. So I think that will continue because there's good momentum behind it, but it will slow down, no doubt in my mind.
You think it's because of procurement's push of this could save us money, let's bring it in-house, that it's continuing on this pace? Because to me, I see it as, you know, you still need strategy partners. There's a place for in-house, but I think there's still a place for the agency for strategy. Do you think it's people who maybe don't understand that or are a little bit less mature in their thought process that are pushing from procurement side to bring it in-house and save some money?
I think it was one of the big drivers early on. I think there've been a couple of major drivers. Transparency was one that I talked about, programmatic, and you know, clients saying, we need to see what's in that black box. What's going on here? Like, we need to know. We need to own that. So I think that's one driver, certainly on the media and programmatic side. I think in some activities that companies think are rather strategic now, like social and certain things that are really core to their business, and especially as companies are pushing into e-commerce and anything that's transactional, or as is element of social and customer service element, I think there's a desire to keep that very much inside the walls of the company, which makes sense. And on the marketing side, it's been really about your point, you know, is there a more cost-effective way of doing this kind of work? And what if we could do it ourselves? And then also the proximity to the brand and the team and the agility and the flexibility, you know, there's some things to be said about that as well. But I think initially it was really a cost driven. I don't think it's as much as a driver anymore. And I think because I think it's been hard for companies to actually demonstrate consistently that they're actually able to realize these level of savings over time because of the inherent cost and hidden cost, I guess, even to operate this kind of a structure. You know, but that was a big driver, yeah.
We're still in this pandemic and the way that the changes that it's happened, the way that companies are operating, the way that they're structuring the agency, even the agency relationship, client agency relationships has been put under pressure. How do you build these relationships? How are you getting in front of the customers? Technology obviously has been a big driver to enable that. But people are getting pretty much tired of being in front of a camera and Zooming all day or doing in Google Meet, Teams meetings. It's exhausting. How are agencies and clients getting past that and pushing through, because it's a challenge across all areas of the business, but specifically you're dealing with something such creative.
It's a great question. I recently was asked by Dana to write a guide on how to provide creative feedback, and because it's a topic of high interest. And the reason I mention that is because I specifically added a section in there about how to do that in a Zoom world. Because how do you evaluate creative, to your point? It's a highly creative work. How do you provide feedback effectively using new technologies and not having the benefit of having these in-person interactions? I think we underestimated how much work we do outside of work or the work environment, like the relationship building, the discussions in the hallway. And when you ask agencies to present ideas and concept, it's hard for them to see, you know, and manage the room or manage the call and get the input. So they have to put a lot more rigor around who's part of the call. How do you managing input? You know, many agencies are requiring, obviously, everybody to be on video where you can see people's face and reactions. But, you know, a lot of these things are muscles that we all have to flex and build. It's not going away. There's no way this is going away. You just have to read The Price to see that many organizations are now offering many different work, very flexible work environment. Many organizations don't even require employees to come back, or they have so much flexibility. So on the client side, we're not going back. On the agency side, well, they're not going back either, because they're saving a lot of money to get rid of a lot of their real estate property. You know, it's how they've been able to cope with their cost structure. Now it's a people business. And if you understand that and need to enable that, you know, you have to find other ways to do that. And so I think we're going to see more innovation. I don't know if the metaverse is going to be one of them. I'm hearing all these people saying, we're going to do these video conf calls now with our avatars. And, you know, I'm going to start, you know, I don't know if you've seen the new Meta, the new Facebook Meta company now, but, and they're, you know, they're kind of a presentation of their new capabilities. Like, you know, maybe that's the new world. We're going to be flying in meetings and having these little kind of weird person. It's hard to know how we're going to cope with that, frankly, because the creative world is inherently human. It's about passion and human expression. And yet we are excessively using technology and dehumanizing the world, the workplace in many ways. So to your point, how do you bridge the gap, the divide that we're creating between trying to relate to people creatively and being human and working, not like robots, but just being excessively automated, I guess, in some ways. So I think we'll have to find the right balance point. I don't know what it's going to be. Everybody's going to experiment with different ways of doing it. I do believe at some point we're going to say, and I see that actually for event. I'm going to PokerCon next week, which we happen to sponsor that conference. We're excited. But attendance is low, as you know, it's much lower than it's been historically. But people are dying to get back and meet again. And, you know, and you see the joy of people when you see that we haven't seen each other for a couple of years. And you're like, my God, it feels so good. So I think we miss it. I'm more concerned about the new generation that's going to learn to be on Zoom every day, and they won't miss it because they'll never experience it as much as we do. So I think it's upon us to, you know, make sure we find the right balance.
I have one last question. Have agencies reduced their rates since all the overhead now is trimmed? Or are they just making money?
Typical procurement.
Yeah, good question. Because I track a lot, you know, I review, analyze a lot of the earning reports. Mm-hmm. You know, agencies are doing really well right now. All the major holding companies, they are doing very well. I'm very happy they're doing well, by the way. Every client should be happy they're doing well. And I'll tell you why in a second, because that ties to your question. But so yes, they've been able to reduce cost. Some was good, some was bad. So getting rid of real estate, expensive real estate in fancy locations where you don't need that much office space anymore, that's okay. I think we can all say it's for the better, perhaps, in some ways. They've also reduced a lot of headcount, as you know, when COVID happened. There was a massive staff reductions. They were reducing payroll, and there were a lot of things they were doing that were hurtful to people. And there was a lot of talent migration, what I call, negative attrition. So that was not as good. And so the fact that they're doing better, to me, is good because we need them to continue investing in talent. We need them to continue to invest in capabilities that we as clients benefit from. I think if you look at their level of profitability, they are nowhere. I think the one that are killing it right now, it's the Google, it's the Amazon, it's Facebook. Those companies have hugely benefited from the transition to e-commerce and continued acceleration of e-commerce. So they are the one like killing it, right? If you look at their growth, I mean, we're talking a 30% growth. I mean, like, it's amazing. Now, the holding companies are, some of them now actually double digit, which is good in organic growth and so on. But they were hurt for a while. So I'm actually happy they're recovering. So are we going to see, some of that reduction in overhead? I think that investment is shifting. So probably not. I think it's going to go in other important places for them to continue building their business that COVID has made them suffer. I think we are going to expand that in, my prediction is as we live in the world of Zoom, and it's so easy to change jobs. Now you're working from home. You don't need to relocate your family. You can work for American Express on Friday and you're working for Visa on Monday, and they ship you a new laptop and you're up and running. So it's going to be harder to keep people because you don't also have the culture phenomenon, the striking the Kool-Aid thing. We're not spending as much time together, so we're not as ingrained into the culture. And so it's easy to basically change jobs. And I think the agencies are going to have the same issue. It's going to be easy for people to jump ships and go to another. And so we're going to have to pay people more to retain talent. So there's going to be more of an expense in acquisition and retention of talent. And I think we're going to redeploy our travel budgets and our real estate savings into people.
Into free
conferences too. Yeah.
I mean, to me, I see like an increase in freelancers, and that's the next, I think, issue for marketing procurement to get their arms around of understanding those costs, right? Because you have this new younger generation and now everybody else too, who's getting used to being completely remote and being freelance is going to be, I feel like a new trend to go to. And like, how do you manage that, right? How do you manage the cost with them? And knowing if your agency is using freelancers or if they're in-house, it's, I think it's going to be a tough road to tackle. But as a procurement person, I still think we should all go back and renegotiate.
Well, I do see, to your point about freelance, I do see some organizations now asking agencies to report on that because there's a different kind of overhead structure. And as agencies are moving for more traditional retainer, heavy retainer-based agreement, cost-plus model to more flexible work arrangements or project-based relationships, they are shifting a lot of their talent from FTEs to overflow staff and freelance. Which, comes with challenges. I mean, we're all thinking, there's some plus on the side of people freelancing. But, for agencies, even for clients, a freelance workforce is hard to manage to some degree. It's very unpredictable and consistent at times. So it comes with those savings potentially because you don't have some of the cost, but it's also more competitive. So again, you have to pay for it. So
yeah.
I think a lot of the costs are shifting. I really don't see a lot of places we're going to be able to really trim fat. I think it's just it's a different, it's lean muscle, but in different places of the body, if you will. It's a bad metaphor.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing a shift in basically where budgets are coming from. They're basically taking it from one pocket and putting it in the next because they're having to redeploy it. We see that in our world where companies are, that used to be in, on the production side are saying, we don't want to be, we don't want the overhead and hassle of dealing with production. We want to be more marketing and really go out there and do more digital engagement that way. And then outsourcing to back-end providers to be able to do all the production who are better equipped to set up to be able to do it and get it to scale quicker. And it's not like there's a, all of a sudden they're just saving more money. It's just they're taking the money that they had typically for overhead and the cost to run that production into digital and pushing it out in those channels. And in fact, if nothing else, they might be spending even more.
Agreed. And some of it is, again, going back to technology. This is where they're investing in technology, doing things faster, better, being more agile, being more flexible. So again, we see that with our clients, obviously, because that's what we do. But we see it with agencies as well. Just, you know, very keen on bringing more of that into the way they operate. And that takes money. You know, you need to invest and, you know, in technology, you need to maintain it. It pays off multiple times, but you got to make the initial investment.
So before we wrap up, Dana, I want to actually double click on a question you just asked, but I'm going to ask it to you. You talked about, can we renegotiate some of these different rates and agreements? But from the marketing procurement seat, if you have a partner who could innovate and drive that process innovations and growth, where does that fall compared to the overall rate?
So I really think it depends on if you have a true strategic partner in the agency, right? Like I know I'm working with some of them that are truly invested and truly are innovative. If we are going to be long-term partners, I think those are the people who I won't press as hard on in saying, hey, we need to cut costs, because we want them to innovate. We want them to bring us the latest and the greatest and for us to be ahead of the curve. I think the more mature procurement person understand that. I think newer people in this space don't, and it's just price. But I think, you know, when you can get somebody who understands that relationships are key in this type of situation, because they're an extension of the team in a sense, right? You don't have somebody pushing as hard, and I don't think it's as big as a priority. I think becoming efficient is, seeing where, you know, hey, we're, and I've seen this a ton of times, hey, we're paying for you guys to do our accruals. We're paying $100,000 a quarter for you to do our client, like silly things like that, that you could look at and say, why are we paying this much money when we could have somebody, you know, procurement do it or whoever else. I don't think price needs to be pushed on. I think it's looking at the overall processes and things that of that sort. I would say innovation should be top of mind for procurement, and we shouldn't push if we know they are strategic partners. That said, when you have people who aren't and they're just project-based, that's when truly we push the hardest, right? If they're not key suppliers, if they're not long-term partners, those are the people who might get beat up a little bit more from the procurement standpoint of view.
I think one of the challenges, if I can add to what you just said, Anna, a challenge, but I think just a wonderful opportunity. I think if you think about it that way, we've, you know, in a procurement world, I think the tendency has always been thinking this fat. Agencies are pocketing money. Maybe we're not, you know, maybe it's some, you know, we want more transparency. We want to see everything, how they operate and everything else, which I think some of that is reasonable and fair. But there's an assumption that agencies sometimes make too much money. I think if you look at holistically and for as long as I've been studying the marketplace, you know, they are not usually profitable businesses. I mean, compared to many other industries. So for them to make a reasonable amount of profit is again, healthy. That's how you attract talent. That's how you build a very healthy industry. I think there is waste. There's no doubt about that. But the waste is maybe of different flavor, if you will. It's like the misalignment of expectations, the waste of working with an agency and not having clarity about what you want and having them going cycles on things they shouldn't be doing cycles on, like the lack of, you know, healthy briefing practices, the inability for client to really plan effectively and really allocate the right resources, matching the wrong agency skill set to the wrong work, asking to an agency that's not, you know, necessarily skilled to do that. I mean, obviously, all these things I think we address with technology in many ways, right? We help clients with. But I think a more healthy conversation to have with your agencies, if you think there is waste, and there is waste, whether you think it or not, I think if you carefully look, you'll find some, is actually to invite them to be a partner in trying to identify it and remove it. So it's inviting them as a partner to be part of the solution rather than trying to, you know, question or challenge them in aspect of how they run their business. I think he's saying, hey, are we operating as leanly as we could? Are we adding unnecessary steps in our process? Can we be more agile? Can we produce work more effectively together? And I mean, you know, and maybe reinvest some of the money we're going to be saving together in doing better work. So it doesn't have to be a loss proposition for the agencies. But it's finding a way to find common ground in operating better and more successfully together. To me, that's a healthy way of engaging your agency partner.
It's an easier conversation to have too, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
When I've had those conversations of, hey, let's sit down together and tell me what you see. Tell me where, you know, our side isn't perfect either. Tell me where the brand is screwing up. Like, you know, we're having 10 revisions because guess what? Global and North America can't agree. We're seeing millions of dollars go out the door, right? So to me, you really do have to sit down with them and have them be your partner too, to understand how their business is running and where they see the efficiencies, because they're going to know it a little bit quicker than you are as a procurement person, right? I think, and it's an easier conversation to have. It's not you like banging your fist saying, cut your cost. And I prefer those conversations myself. So I think it's very key for a lot of people to, you know, really understand that everybody makes mistakes and maybe you need to take a look at your brand and what is the brand doing too. And, you know, we're not perfect. So how can we become more lean, efficient, and what can we do to better work with the agency? Because I've seen those issues and they can be very costly, right? It's not a fun thing to say, hey, because, you know, Global and North America can't agree on creative, we just spent $1 million going through revisions. It's not a good feeling, I think, to have. So
I would agree. And we covered a lot in this podcast. We discussed innovations in marketing, challenges, and how technology is helping solve them, how marketing has become more complex and has continued to be more complex, and even trends, you know, and how marketing organizations can continue to evolve and navigate this crazy marketing and marketing procurement landscape. So we really appreciate the time and thank you for coming on MarPro.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.
Bye-bye.